What's happening? Welcome on in. Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hour number three of our radio program. 60 minutes to play. Ryan Horvat from BetMGM tonight will join us. We're going to have to make fun of Ryan Horvat because last week he was talking up the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, they're alive. They're going to win the game outright. And now we need to pretty much celebrate and dance on his grave after the Cowboys do go down. And I was able to get the victory on the week up against Ryan Horvat. Not that it was a great week of picking games for me, but I just did better than Ryan Horvat. So we'll get some college games from him. Also NFL as well in 20 minutes from now. Ryan Horvat from BetMGM tonight via BetQL. But right now we do this segment every Monday and Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio. Five questions, five answers. We call it Onsides, Offsides. Carlos Ortiz, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, Stu. What we got cooking today?
All right, Zach. Well, Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud has turned heads so far in his first five games as he's completed 61% of his passes, has seven touchdowns and zero interceptions while averaging 292 passing yards per game.
That's pretty good if you ask me.
Not too bad for the second overall pick. Now, according to ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, the Raiders, my Raiders, they tried to trade up with the Bears for the first pick before Chicago eventually dealt it to the Panthers, and they would have taken Stroud over Bryce Young, according to Orlovsky. Now, onsides or offsides, trading up for Stroud would have been the right move for Vegas.
So it's onsides, and here's why. When the Raiders made the decision to move on from Derek Carr, I didn't have a problem with it. But you needed to bring in the next face of your franchise, the next guy that would signal to your fan base, this is the guy that's going to lead us into this next chapter of trying to turn down the Raiders. And when you go from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo, it's like, did we even get better? Like, at least Carr was healthy. Garoppolo's always injured. Sure, Garoppolo's won more games than Carr and, you know, over the last few years, but isn't Garoppolo more of a product of the system in San Francisco than really being a good quarterback? So that was a move to me where it was so underwhelming. Because remember, the Raiders were thinking they were going to get Tom Brady. The Raiders were floated out there as a potential Aaron Rodgers destination. And that's really the one that's still mystifying to me. Why the Raiders, who had the relationship with the Packers from the Devontae Adams trade, where that got done pretty seamlessly, and Rodgers, remember, before it was officially was going to the Jets, where he announced that he wanted to go to the Jets, he was on McAfee, and he was like, hey, I'm surprised another team that has a receiver that I used to play with didn't come and go get me. And he was surprised by that. So I don't get why the Raiders didn't further explore or make Aaron Rodgers the destination when he was getting traded to the AFC of Las Vegas. So to go from, okay, we're getting rid of Carr, which was decided before the end of last season when Carr left the team. And then it's you miss on Brady because he retires. You miss on Rodgers. And then you get to the draft and you end up already making the decision. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. And you don't get your guy. It's like, huh? What do we do here? You didn't get, like, even if you got better, you maybe got slightly better at that. You needed to make a move that provided hope for the future. Garoppolo was more so staying the same. So, yeah, Stroud would have been the right move for the Vegas Raiders on sides.
All right, so we talked a lot about George Kittle this week.
You better not be cursing here on this one.
Oh, I hope not.
Because I've worked with producers before that have randomly just dropped an F-bomb, whoever that could be. I forget the name
you
of
don't
that
say.
Producer. Yeah, I was sitting here, we were talking about Russell Westbrook, and the next thing you know, I forget who that producer was, and he dropped an F-bomb on the air. And I had to dump him. Usually it's the producer or the board op
yes.
dumping the host or a caller that says something filled with jackassery. I had to sit there and slam the dump button on my own producer.
Just an upset that it wasn't me being the producer that had something bad to say about Russell Westbrook. It had to be the other person who is not named.
Yeah, that's true. That's the one thing. Now we're treating him as if he's like Robbie Rosen.
What is it? Is he Lord Voldemort? You can't say his name?
Yeah. It's hot take Hickey who dropped that F-bomb when talking about Russell Westbrook. That's the mystifying part to me about it still. Is like, out of all the things Hickey gets annoyed about.
Not the Colts.
You would, yeah, look how quick Stu was to jump down the throat of Hickey there. But you would believe that it would be Hickey basically telling me, like, bleep you, Gelb. I'm sick and tired of you giving me crap. Bleep you, bleep you. It was, oh, Russell Westbrook. Now, this guy's so obnoxious. Bleep that bleeping guy. And I was like, whoa. Okay. So we can move on with the question. Just don't curse there, Stu, because you're a nice person. I think you're well-respected around here. You don't want to be known as the guy with the potty mouth on CBS Sports Radio.
Definitely not. Well, I'll leave that to George Kittle, who displayed a T-shirt under his jersey on Sunday that said F Dallas. On Thursday, Kittle told reporters that he expected to be fined, and, well, the NFL has come down on him. As ESPN's Jeremy Fowler has reported, the league has fined him $13,699 for his use of abusive language.
Mm.
Onsides or offsides, Kittle deserved to be fined for the T-shirt.
Do you want me to answer this as if I am a spokesperson for the NFL, or do you want my true thoughts on this?
Your true thoughts, please, Zach.
If I was running the NFL, if I was Roger Goodell, first off, I would get rid of that overrated chair that he has in his basement that we all saw during the pandemic. You're the commissioner of the National Football League. You should have a newer chair, and you could get a more comfortable chair than that one. That was a nice-looking chair. Probably was comfortable, but it just looked too old. You got to get a newer chair. I would not have fined him. I think that's good for the league. I know you can't embrace it as the commissioner, but I wouldn't be your normal commissioner. When you find someone for an F Dallas shirt when he's clearly catering to the 49ers fans, that is almost as if you're saying, oh, we are the NFL, the no fun league. So I don't have a problem from it. I know people are going to say, oh, what about the children? What about the children? I'm sure your child has said worse than just F Dallas before. Trust me, I was a counselor and a division leader at a sleepaway camp for 7th and 8th grade boys for 2 summers. I heard some of the worst things come out of You know, just curse words that if I repeated on the radio, I would get fired is the right way to say this. Now, I don't want to be like Hot Take Hickey cursing up a storm here on CBS Sports Radio. So just having a shirt that says F Dallas, no big deal to me. I would not have fined George Kittle. But once again, I'm not the commissioner, but I would go offside there. I don't think he should have been
offside.
All right, so Kirby Smart has gotten the better of Nick Saban the last couple of years.
Yeah, remember when he couldn't beat him?
Yeah, for all those years, and now finally the last 2 years, he finally has overtaken him. And according to the Crimson Tide head coach, there's another way that his former assistants, including Kirby Smart, have gotten the better of him of late.
And that's what I've always tried to do, is have a bunch of young people, evaluate them, see them go get other jobs, and then know that you would hire them back because you know who they are. Now, one of the disadvantages of having all these guys going out and getting jobs everywhere is they hire the guys before I get a chance to, like Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning was here as a GA. He went to Memphis or someplace, got a job. I was ready to hire him, and 2 days before I was going to hire him, Kirby hired him. So it kind of messes up your game plan a little bit when you got all these guys out there, because they kind of know who the guys that you've had in the organization are that are the good ones. And they end up snatching them up before you get a chance to.
My favorite part of that, Stu, before you continue.
Yes.
I just looked up Dan Lanning's resume. He goes, oh, yeah, he went to Memphis or someplace. As if he didn't know where Dan Lanning went. He was a GA at Alabama. And then, yes, he was an inside linebackers coach and, I guess, the run game coordinator at Memphis from 2016 to 2017 before going to Georgia. But I love how salty Saban still is about losing Dan Lanning when he was a GA, and he goes, oh yeah, and yeah, this guy go to like Memphis or someplace, as if he was just throwing a random school out there. Come on, coach, we all know that you knew he went to Memphis. I love that from Saban. That's a gem of a quote.
So
Saban
good.
And Belichick have really become good quotes.
Yeah.
With how much, like how little details they give, but when you get them on something that they're so salty about, and they're so dry and they're so monotone, but it's become very funny to hear Saban and Belichick command a media room.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think about this? Obviously, Saban's kind of gotten caught up to a little bit. Offsides or onsides, Saban will adjust to his competition catching up to him and will win another national championship at Alabama.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the blowhard that gets on a national radio show and go, oh, Nick Saban's never going to win a championship again. Then I'll start sounding like Paul Feinbaum, who just goes after Nick Saban and now is back in on Alabama after they had a good showing up against Texas A&M, where I would say Paul be like more consistent there. If you're going after Saban before the start of the year, where you said if he doesn't win a national championship, people are going to look differently at Nick Saban, like what a dumb comment that is. And then after an A&M game where, quite frankly, I was more disappointed in A&M than impressed by Alabama, now Paul Feinbaum, whatever you want to call him, is back on the Saban bandwagon, which is crazy to me. But to answer your question, until he's retired, I'm still always going to think that Saban has a shot to win a national championship again at some point. I don't think it will happen this year because Alabama will suffer another loss and they won't make it to the college football playoff. But I will say on sides that Saban will adjust to his competition, catching up to him, and will win another title before it's all said and done at Alabama.
All right, so Zion Williamson's career has gone off to a bit of an inauspicious start after a strong 2021 season where he averaged 27-7 in 61 games. The former first overall pick missed
27 DMs and 20 girls going after him.
Maybe that too, yeah. It might have been. Well, points and rebounds, we'll go with.
Is that Mariah Mills still tweeting about him and still posting about him?
Oh, I haven't seen anything lately.
I thought
I'm sure
she got banned, actually.
Oh, really?
She got banned from Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, I think Elon had enough and just said nope.
Well, it was at a point where it was like a story for a week and everyone's like, ooh, this is interesting. And then 2 months later, I see that she was still posting. I'm like, all right, enough. Like, enough is enough here. Anyway, Stu, you go back to the question. Sorry.
So after that strong season, he missed the entire 21-22 season and played just 29 games last season. Well, in Thursday's preseason game against the Rockets, Zion had just 4 points on 2 of 3 shooting in 22 minutes. And afterwards, head coach Willie Green said, quote, "We need to talk about it. We hadn't put any sort of half-court sets in for him yet, but we need to put the ball in his hands," end of quote. So onsides or offsides, Zion will ultimately live up to his expectations by winning an MVP and doing so in New Orleans.
An MVP of what? Like always getting injured, an MVP of not showing up, an MVP of going to the buffet table, an MVP of like sleeping with everyone in America. If that's the standard for MVP, yeah, sure, on sides. But if you're talking about an MVP on the basketball court, Stu, is that what you're asking me?
That is what I'm asking, yes.
Can the guy get through a season? Can he like live up to the hype for an entirety of a season instead of he's good in small doses, like 4 or 5 games dominant, then 4 or 5 games injured, then 4 or 5 games dominant, 4 or 5 games injured, then we don't see him for the rest of the season. So I will go offside here. The day that Zion Williamson wins an MVP is probably the day that I'm no longer hosting a radio show, because it'll happen in some like video game 50 years from now when a kid's using a throwback player of like Zion Williamson just because of what happened at Duke and how much of a star he was at Duke.
Offside.
All right, and last one. Last season, LeBron James broke the NBA all-time scoring record. And according to Shaquille O'Neal, the King doesn't have any plans to stop there. Shaq told ESPN, quote, "He wants to take it to where the scoring record will never be broken for the next 60 to 70 years, end of quote. So onsides or offsides, LeBron should be prioritizing winning another championship ahead of just increasing his all-time scoring lead.
Can I just ask a question? I don't know if everyone listening could hear that, but I could see just what transpired. So you said that quote, and Carlos Ortiz forgot there was a microphone in front of his big fat face, and he was like, oh, God, this is terrible. What are you so upset about here?
Well, now I'm upset about the big fat face thing, but no.
I say that in love. That was big guy to big guy. That was just a joke.
No, I'm kidding.
You look svelte. You look stunning in that Rangers jersey.
Yeah, if only stunning in the midsection. Come on, man. 60 to 70 years. I've had enough of this guy. I've really had enough of him.
Who, LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron. I'm done with him. I've been done since that Fugazi championship in the bubble. So
stop.
Anything he says, I just boo down.
Don't be one of those Fugazi bubble championships.
The worst.
Boo. Stop. Oh, well, actually, I know where this is rooted in. You're lying to the audience right now.
Wow. No, I'm a man of integrity. I would never lie to them.
I have to call your integrity into question.
By all means.
You know what I smell right now? Smell a Chicago Bulls fan. That's what I smell.
Well, both things can be true. I know,
but this is why I hate the whole GOAT debate in the NBA, and I think it's the dumbest thing that people do in radio, because you have people like you, who's a Bulls fan, that knows how great Michael Jordan is, and we all acknowledge that Michael Jordan is, right, number one. But then, to knock the king down, It's like, oh, everything he says is awful. Oh, it's terrible. And there's never a discussion here. The Bull fan treats LeBron James like he's a bum. And then the LeBron fan treats Michael Jordan like he's a bum. And there's no in between. There's no common, courtesy conversation. Oh. You have guys like you that are like, oh,
no. Don't lump me in with the rest of those heathens, all right? I'm unbiased here. I don't root against LeBron. I don't.
You walk around with the Jordan jersey here.
I inherently root against LeBron. Mm-hmm. I can acknowledge his greatness. He really is the second greatest player of all time, and I don't say that as a slight. Not everybody can be number one. He's fantastic. I just think I get annoyed with everything that he says lately.
Do you root for? Well, I know the Bulls are bad now, but
no, they're awful. They haven't been relevant since Derrick Rose.
You're a Ranger fan, right? Which I'm okay with, but you're wearing a Wayne Gretzky jersey right now.
Gorgeous Wayne Gretzky '97 jersey.
You're a Jordan fan.
Yeah.
I feel like he just follows the teams with the goats.
No, I'm from Chicago, so I have two teams from Chicago, my Cubs and my Bulls, and I didn't watch hockey or football until I moved to New York, and I adopted the Giants and Rangers accordingly.
By the way, I liked your word of heathen.
Yeah,
I thought that was good.
Because these LeBron haters, these Jordan fans are heathens.
All right, anyway, LeBron should prioritize winning another championship ahead of increasing his all-time scoring lead. So, onsides, but I will say, if you are focused on increasing your scoring lead, that would probably result in good team success for the Lakers and increases your chance of winning a championship. I'm not going to crush LeBron for this because I'm not a LeBron hater. LeBron does sometimes annoy me because he tries to be buddy-buddy with everybody and he never wants to criticize anybody. But I'm not going to stoop to the level of one Carlos Ortiz, who basically was just trying to start a bleep LeBron chant all around the CBS Sports radio studios about 2 seconds ago. So I will go on sides on this, but I'm not actually irate with the comment by LeBron James or the thing that Shaquille O'Neal knows about LeBron James and however this was said. So there you go. Onside, offside right there. It is Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll do some NFL picks. Also get some college plays next with Ryan Horvat from BetMGM tonight via BetQL. I didn't think Ryan Horvat was a Cowboys fan, but after last week, you would think he was Dak Prescott's biggest fan, getting on this show and telling our listening audience to put all their money in the world on the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. And you know what? I need to apologize because I allowed that to happen and I didn't really challenge him. I didn't try to fight him right here on CBS Sports Radio, but here to redeem himself. Because we like second chances here. We always like a good comeback story. Is one of the hosts of BetMGM tonight via BetQL. He'll join us each and every Friday on a football Friday on CBS Sports Radio, 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. That is Ryan Horvat. Ryan, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm embarrassed for myself. I'm embarrassed because I trusted Mike McCarthy in a big situation, in a big game, in primetime, on primetime, against the San Francisco 49ers. What I really trusted in that game was Dan Quinn and that Dallas Cowboy defense to get pressure on Brock Purdy. And instead, we got the best game that Brock Purdy's played as a pro. He was pushing the ball down the field. I thought they were going to have to use George Kittle maybe more in pass protection because of that pass rush. Instead, George Kittle had the hat trick. He had 3 touchdowns in that game. So I'm embarrassed. Hopefully I could redeem myself. Luckily, I did come on with you a lot last season, and I feel like I made the people a lot of money. So one bad week, you know what happens? Just like in the NFL, just like in college football, we burn the tape and we move on to this week. Zach.
Yeah, don't sound like you're an Atlanta Brave player where you just focus on previous seasons and don't acknowledge what happened this season. Don't be one of those Atlanta Braves today. All right, let's start you off 3:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. This is my favorite game of the weekend, Oregon and Washington. The over-under 67, you got Bo Nix going up against Michael Penix Jr. Washington is a 3-point favorite. I've been saying it all year long, even before the start of the year. Washington is my favorite team in the Pac-12. I thought they'd win the Pac-12 championship this year. But where do you lie with Washington currently being a 3-point favorite?
I'm a big fan of both of these teams, both of these offenses, both of these quarterbacks, both of these coaches. I love Kalen DeBoer at Washington. I love Dan Lanning. You had him on a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I love what that guy brings to the program. The only knock on Oregon for me is they really need to clean up those penalties. And I'm a little concerned because it is Bo Nix on the road. You go back to his time at Auburn. Granted, that was against SEC defenses. Did struggle a little bit on the road. But I actually like Oregon with the points. There's a +3 that's available right now, -110. I like them against this Washington defense. The only issue I have with Washington is the defensive side of the ball. They're really struggling right now to stop the run. When you adjust for schedule, they're outside the top 100 right now in defensive line yards allowed, outside the top 100 in havoc created, outside the top 100 in tackles for loss. So I worry a little bit, you know, are they going to be able to stop the run? Because Oregon, I think they have the best offensive line in the country, definitely the best offensive line in the Pac-12. So I think they're going to be able to run the ball. You know, I lean that there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I didn't bet the over, but I do like Oregon just because I do think that they're the more complete football team. But it won't shock me if Washington finds a way to win this game just because Michael Penix right now has the second best odds. Actually, he's the favorite right now to win the Heisman. He's putting together a ridiculous season. But I like Oregon in this game to at least cover the number.
Auburn and LSU. I don't trust Auburn, but I really don't trust LSU. They're the most disappointing team this year in college football. LSU did not have a good showing last week against Missouri. I thought they should have lost the game, but they found a way to win it. They're 4-2 on the season, and LSU is an 11-point favorite. Is this Vegas begging you to plus the 11 points with Auburn, and they're banking on LSU in this one? Because I look at that spread, and I say, LSU shouldn't be an 11-point favorite up against anybody.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. Like, a lot of people I know really like LSU in this spot against Auburn. They think this might be a little bit of a letdown spot for Auburn. They've been really competitive the last couple weeks. And like you said, though, I just can't trust LSU to cover a big spread because on the defensive side of the ball, they give up nothing but explosive plays. They're outside the top 100, giving up explosive plays. They're also not a really good tackling team, outside the top 75. So I trust them on the offensive side of the ball with Neighbors. And, you know, I mean, Jaden's having a ridiculous season. If they're unbeaten right now, and I know he struggles a little bit when he's under pressure, he's not running the ball as much. But if they're unbeaten right now, he's probably getting some Heisman looks. But I just can't trust LSU to lay a big number, to cover a big number. So I would actually take the points against them with Auburn. One thing I do like, the over. I think it's as simple as you just bet overs in LSU games. They've went over in the last 9 games. Wow. So I just don't trust them to get stops. I trust them to score points. I'm just going over in the game, and hopefully that trend continues this Saturday.
So Ryan Horvath, not a part of the LSU family in the 11-point spread, but yeah, a part of the LSU family in the over. All right, USC, Notre Dame. This was a game a few weeks ago where it was like, oh, this is going to be a big heavyweight fight. I know it's always an important game, but Notre Dame the last 3 weeks have been very disappointing. USC is undefeated. We know they have the best player in the sport in Caleb Williams, but their defense is absolutely horrible. Notre Dame is a 2.5-point favorite. I feel as if a lot of people are going to plus the points here with USC. I don't know where the public money is. Notre Dame, I have trust issues with their offense, but I got to think that this offense is going to get going against USC.
Yeah, here's one where I don't like to pay attention to what the Joes or the pros or the public's doing or the sharps, because, you know, like, the pros, the Joes, I mean, they win money too every once in a while. They win some bets or they wouldn't go back to the window. And so I like Notre Dame in the game, but I wouldn't be shocked if USC blew them out just because it's Caleb Williams. It's that offense. The only thing that scares me is what you said about the defense. And I actually like the Alex Grinch hire, but things are actually getting worse this season. They can't get stops. They're not getting as many takeaways as they had last year. And they've just been begging to lose a game really the last month of the season. They're not covering numbers. And I love Caleb Williams, but he's just playing hero ball right now. We saw it in overtime last week, had to throw the team on his back using his legs. Even the passing offense doesn't look great. It's just kind of some backyard football stuff right now. But Notre Dame, their passing offense definitely doesn't look great. I like their tight end, Mitchell Evans, but they're really struggling right now, even with Sam Hartman, to throw the ball outside the numbers. Even in the trenches against Louisville, they were getting pushed around, including Joe out. Defensive side of the ball, though, I do trust Notre Dame to get at least a couple stops in this game. If we get the weather, you know, the Midwest wind and rainy conditions, you saw it at practice this week for USC. They got the hose out. They're squirting guys. Then I like Notre Dame to win this game. If it's a windy night, Caleb can't throw the ball, wet ball, nobody wants to throw a wet ball, then I like Notre Dame in this game. But they're going to have to be able to run the ball. And the one thing I'm waiting on before I play submit on this bet, I want to see if Audric Estime is going to be healthy. He hasn't been the same guy the last couple weeks, but they're going to need him against this USC defense. But if they're able to limit possessions, keep Caleb Williams and that offense on the sidelines, rainy, wet conditions, windy game, I like Notre Dame to win.
Ryan Horvath here with us. Let's cue the NFL music and we'll get to some picks here for week 6 in the National Football League. All righty, I'll start things off. Everyone's now back in on the Bengals after they beat the Arizona Cardinals. I look at the Bengals right now as a team that I still have trust issues with, even though I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. You go back to Cincinnati this week. The Bengals are a 3-point favorite. Seattle is a really good team. Everyone's saying the Lions are the third best team in the NFC. I think people forget that the Seahawks beat the Lions in Detroit this year. I love Seattle plus the 3 points this week, and I actually think that they will win the game outright against the Cincinnati Bengals, but I take the Seahawks plus 3.
I love it. We're on the same side in that game. All right, I'm going to go with an underdog as well.
Can I change it now after your performance last week?
No, I'm
just kidding. That wasn't nice.
Yeah, that was not nice. All right. Well, you know what? If I am going to lose, I'm going to take your team down with me, Zach. Give me the Patriots plus the 3 right now against the Raiders. I just feel like this is the perfect buy low spot on the Patriots. It doesn't look good right now. It doesn't look good at all. They've benched Mac Jones back-to-back weeks. This is more for me a fate of the Raiders. They're coming off a win. It was a primetime game, standalone game, so everybody got to see them beat the Packers. I'm not really high on the Packers right now. Not really high on the Patriots. Through 5 weeks as I look right now, they have the worst offense in the NFL by EPA. So the way I look at this, only way to go is up. I trust Bill Belichick to scheme up a defense to at least contain Devontae Adams. I do not trust Josh McDaniels here in this spot. And all they have to do, New England, you have to protect against Max Crosby. I don't like anybody else on the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders. So give me the Patriots to cover the 3 and a perfect buy low spot with New England here.
By the way, I'm a very large man, so I'm naturally just going to be bigger than you. I would just sit up a little bit because right now it looks like I'm just owning you here on our YouTube stream. Ryan Horvat here with us from BetMGM tonight. Come on, yeah. Horvat. I know you're still hungover from that birthday party last weekend. But let's look alive here on CBS Sports Radio. Alrighty, I'll stop being a jackass and teasing Horvat here.
Colts, I can't see myself.
It's all right. Colts and Jaguars. This is a game that the Jaguars probably win 28-24, and the hook will crush me here. And I probably should bet the Colts plus the points. I know there's a little Gardner Minshew revenge game, and the Jaguars have been wildly inconsistent, but I don't care. I will take the Jaguars laying the 4.5 points in Duval. Welcoming in Jonathan Taylor and Indy.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Because this is the perfect head-to-head. I'm going to go the opposite side. Give me the Colts, actually. I just hate this spot for the Jags. They're coming back from London. They've been there the last 2 weeks. Rest advantage here for the Colts. And I don't think there's a huge drop-off from Anthony Richardson to Gardner Minshew. Like you said, we get the revenge game angle. And you know, I think Richardson's the better runner, but you can't really run the ball against this Jags defense right now regardless. The way that you attack them is through the air, and I think the Colts may be able to do that. Also, you know, their offensive line right now, top 5 in the National Football League, which is kind of surprising after last season. They get Jonathan Taylor back. Zach Moss has been a monster. I think they're going to be able to use some play action here. I'll take the Colts and go against you in this spot.
All righty, last one. We started the conversation with the Cowboys. We'll end the conversation with the Cowboys. Back-to-back losses for America's team. Here they come. Everyone's going to say, the Chargers, they're 2-2. They stink. Brandon Staley's a moron, which you're not wrong about, but they still have a lot of talent, and everyone's going to tell me this is the perfect get-right game for the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. Well, that's why they turn into the drama Dallas choking Cowboys once again this week. Give me the Chargers plus the 2. Sprinkle the money line. Chargers going to win this game outright on Monday Night Football. Chargers plus 2.
All right, I'm going to go with the favorite, actually. Give me the Baltimore Ravens. The Titans' pass defense, we know, not very good. Their run defense the last couple weeks also hasn't been very good. And I like the travel advantage here, actually, for the Baltimore Ravens. A couple years ago, they went to London. They got blown out. So they've been preparing for this game. And they're also getting a little bit healthier. Ronnie Stanley's coming back. Morgan Moses are coming back. This is going to be the first time since week 1 Lamar Jackson's had all 5 of his starting offensive linemen. They had 7 drops last week. I don't think that's going to happen again this week. And what scares me a little bit for the Titans is if Tart can't go. He's their best interior defender. The last 2 weeks without him on the field, look at this, 260 rushing yards they've given up this season without him on the field.
Wow.
They've given up only 148 rushing yards with him on the field. They're having to play more heavy boxes. I like Lamar in this spot to bounce back, in this Baltimore offense to bounce back. Like I said, they had 7 drops. As long as they're able to keep Lamar clean, I think they should win this game by a full touchdown. Give me Baltimore.
So I go Seahawks plus the 3, Jaguars minus the 4.5, the Chargers plus 2, Horvat takes the Pats plus the 3, the Colts plus the 4.5, and the Ravens minus the 4.5. And you know what? I forgot to give you a birthday present. So I'm going to give you a birthday present right here. At plus 537, Ryan Horvat, anytime touchdown parlay. They called me the anytime touchdown parlay whisperer. I've been like hitting like every other week this year. So until that luck runs out, I'm going to keep on going back to the well. Jonathan Taylor, anytime touchdown. Mike Evans, anytime touchdown at plus 537. I like the odds on that this week. And you could thank me later, Horvath.
I like it. Let me throw you a teaser then.
Ooh. Here
we're going to go with the Wong teaser, right? We're going to go with the Washington Commanders +8.5. And we're going to go with the Houston Texans +8.5. The Commanders going against Atlanta. You have the Texans going against the Saints. What we're going to do here is we're going to tease across both numbers, the 3 and the 7, with the Commanders are going to go from 2.5 to 8.5. Texans are going to go from 2.5 to 8.5. I like both teams to at least keep those games close.
A little two-team teaser. Gotta like that. All right, Ryan Horvath, host of BetMGM tonight via BetQL. We'll do it again next week. Ryan, thank you, and good luck this week.
Thanks so much for having me.
There you go. Ryan Horvath, one of the best of the business, joining us via BetMGM tonight and BetQL. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Deshaun Watson out once again this week. We'll discuss. And also, we got to get to our Ask the Pros question. But first, let me tell you about our friends at AutoZone. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Here's Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jim in Arkansas asks Zach, who's a team in the NFL this weekend that has no chance to win? What an interesting question. Kind of like a morbid question, too. You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think there are three teams this weekend in the NFL that have no shot to win. The Cleveland Browns.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo, hoo.
Sorry, you have no chance this weekend. No Deshaun Watson. PJ Walker, a college classmate of mine, getting the start for the Cleveland Browns. Watson out once again. But you're going up against the 49ers. I know you're going West Coast to East Coast. It's a 1 p.m. game. That concerns some people. The 49ers may play a little bit of a sloppy game, especially with the way that they dominated and destroyed the drama Dallas choking Cowboys on Sunday night. But there's no way the 49ers walk into the dog pound and then get on the plane home with an L attached to their resume. So the 49ers have the upper hand there, and the Browns have no shot this weekend. Another team that has no shot this weekend. If this game was in Carolina, maybe I'd give them the slimmest chance. But if you're on a bad football team, which the Carolina Panthers are, and there's nothing to look forward to, and you're going to the great weather of Florida, and you're going to the party town that Florida is, I wonder what the Panthers are going to be doing on a Saturday evening. And I look at Carolina, they don't have the offense right now where even if Miami has a poor offensive performance, like if you tell me the Dolphins only get 3 touchdowns in the game, and that would be a bad offensive performance for the Miami Dolphins, does anyone anticipate that the Carolina Panthers right now are going to be able to score 3 touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins? Or 3 touchdowns and a field goal to beat them 24-21? No. The Dolphins are going to be opening up a can of whoop-ass on the Carolina Panthers. There's no other way to put it. And the Panthers are just in such a terrible spot, where your owner influence taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, and I was okay with that pick, but I'm not okay with it when it was your owner making the pick and the coaching staff, Frank Reich, who you hired, having to be talked into that because he preferred C.J. Stroud per Adam Schefter. And now C.J. Stroud is playing dominant football through the first 5 games of his young career, and Bryce Young is in a position where how can you succeed? The line stinks. Adam Thielen, if it was 5 years ago, yeah, that's a number one wide receiver. But out in the year of 2023, the Dolphins just have too much offense. They're going to absolutely destroy the Carolina Panthers. And then the other team that has no chance to win this week. Sorry, Carlos. But I think we are a realistic radio program here. sometimes we aren't realistic and we say things that we think are going to be right and then end up being dead wrong, and I have a lot of egg in my face on Monday. But there's just no way the Giants walk into Buffalo, walk into Orchard Park, coming off a game where the Bills lost in London to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the Bills go from having the emotional high of taking it to the Miami Dolphins, blowing out the Miami Dolphins. Then you go to London, and if you want to say it's jet lag, you could use that excuse. They were just so sluggish. They were sloppy. Their offense wasn't humming. It's been the ups and downs of the Buffalo Bills through the first five games of the season. But now you get the perfect appetizer. Now you get the appetizer where no one's going to walk away from this game and say, oh, wow, the Buffalo Bills are this great, sensational team. But everyone likes to go to a party and you get a good appetizer and you devour that appetizer. And that's what the Giants are. The Giants right now are like a bunch of pigs in the blanket. They're walking into Orchard Park. They don't have Daniel Jones. They don't have Andrew Thomas. And the Bills are going to be sitting there. They're going to devour them up. That scene in Buffalo is going to be something. Because it's a primetime game, so Bills fans are going to be drinking, partying all throughout the day. They're going to be throwing mustard on their face, ketchup on their face, eating chicken wings, jumping through tables, being a bunch of savages that Bills Mafia is. And then they're going to get to party all throughout the game. Now, I know the Bills fans don't leave early, but like in the third quarter, with like 5 minutes to go, you'll be able to say, "Up, it's a work night. I got to go get ahead of this hangover and maybe actually get some Z's on the pillow tonight and actually sleep." And you go on home and you miss the entirety of the fourth quarter because that game's going to be a rout. Bills are going to win. Bills are going to win the game big. So the Giants have no shot this weekend. So to answer the question from our friend in Arkansas, Giants, no shot this weekend against the Buffalo Bills. The Panthers, no shot this weekend against the Miami Dolphins. And then the Cleveland Browns, no shot this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, real quickly, I gave a task today to Carlos Ortiz right before the show. Because Carlos, from what I could gather, whenever I hang out with Carlos, he always has a few drinks, always has some good food that is right by. Carlos Ortiz is a very fun time if you get to hang out with him outside of the confines of our CBS Sports Radio studio here at 345 Hudson Street. So I said to Carlos, you know, when I finish up my Sunday night football shift and I do the 8 hours on Ion Football, which you can listen to on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158 and the free Odyssey app, and I do 8 hours, I'm looking for a good football food because of the fact I have to sit there and watch that dreadful football game between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants. So Carlos Ortiz, what did you put together? What did you say that I should cook up on Sunday evening or have someone cook it up for me so I can enjoy it while I watch a Sunday night football game?
All right, so you're coming off an 8-hour shift, but you know, you're going to go to bed soon. The game is going to be over early.
I don't know if I'm going to go to bed soon.
Well, you still don't want to overeat because you don't want a big pile of food in your gut, you know, and then you try to digest it and then go to bed. That's not good for you. So we're going something a little bit lighter. I'm a big chips and salsa dude,
ooh,
but that's not food. So this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
You're going to take some plantains. Mm-hmm. You're going to mash them into a little disc. You know, you're going to make some tostones.
What are those?
Tostones are smashed plantains in a circular shape. You'll throw them into some oil.
And what's the pronunciation?
Tostones.
One more time?
Tostones.
Tostones?
It's with a T. Tostones, if you want to see without the... Tostones.
Tostones.
Yeah, if I'm going to say it like a gringo, I'm going to say tostones.
Okay.
But it's tostones.
Tostones.
Tostones. Now, you make some tostones. Mm. You know, when they come out of the pan, you know, you pat them down, get the oil out, sprinkle some salt.
Okay.
Put them to the side. Make some guacamole. You take some avocado, some tomato, some onion, so a little cilantro, some lime. Mash it all up. Mix it together. Now you got your bowl. You take your tostones. You dip them in. But you want something a little bit heartier?
Where's the protein here?
Here's the protein. Get some skirt steak on the side.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Grill that bad boy up. You throw some cilantro and some lime on that. Slice it all up when it's nice and hot. You take the steak. You smack it on top of the tostone, dip it into the guac, boom. That's your football food of the week.
Wow, just stealing things from Araz right there, why don't you?
They're not going to need it anymore.
One problem. One big problem here. That meal will kill me.
Well, that's a you problem. No, I think for everybody else, it's cool.
That's going to kill me for one reason and one reason only. There's two foods that, or two items that I can't digest. And I instantly become sick. Like, I'm I don't get rushed to the hospital. I don't need like an EpiPen or anything like that. But I immediately, once I digest them, I will throw up. Mushrooms? So like if I get a cheesesteak, can't put mushrooms on them. And then it's a shame because I love guacamole. I used to love guacamole. But avocado?
Really?
Oh, no.
If I have anything more than a scoop, and I mean one small scoop of avocado, I am in the bathroom throwing up a bunch of other images that I don't need to give the listening audience. I just can't digest it. It goes right through me, and I am as sick could be.
Problem solved. Get rid of the avocado. Now you got pico de gallo.
Okay.
There you go.
Now we're talking.
So you got a little tomato, onion, you know, action going on there, and everything still applies.
Yeah. Now some of the people in the chat are saying, all right, now we know Gelb isn't doing any magic mushrooms. No, I'm not. I can't do any mushrooms. Mushrooms aren't good for me. I used to love mushrooms on a cheesesteak, and I used to love chips and avocado.
I'm not a mushroom guy.
And then 5 years ago, I don't know what happened. 5 years ago, mushrooms go right through me, sick as a dog. My sister almost killed me once. She made steak in a mushroom sauce. She didn't know this about me. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm like, what the heck was marinated in that steak? She's like, oh, it's a mushroom sauce. And I'm like, aah! It was just absolutely horrible. And unfortunately, my love for guacamole has come to a close. All right. Anyway, that's the Zach Gelb Show. It's come to a close here on a Football Friday. I'll be back on Sunday for Eye on Football for the 8-hour marathon starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then we'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific as well for another week of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Willie Colon for stopping by, Tom Glavin as well, Ryan Horvat. Also, big thanks to Carlos Ortiz and Stu Kovacs for producing this extravaganza. And a big thanks to each and every one of you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.